This time I'd like to call on our brother Wayne Johnson, give us an address on this subject of the four living creatures of Revelation chapter 4. Wayne.
My brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, quoting from the 64th chapter of Isaiah, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, and in these days his recorded Spirit word. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. To such belong the glories concealed in the cherubim, the subject, the theme of which is to be discussed this weekend. The cherubim are found throughout the Scriptures. We find them in Eden, in Genesis, after the fall of the man and the woman, keeping the way of the tree of life, keeping it for future access, to be secured by the seed that was promised to the woman. They are found throughout the tabernacle and the temple. And God is described in the books of Samuel and in the Psalms as dwelling between the cherubim in the most holy place. They are spoken of extensively in Ezekiel. And the Apostle Paul briefly remarks of their great significance in Hebrews 9, where there he remarks of their glory shadowing the mercy seat. And then says, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Those who have made the study of the significance of the cherubim surely must have longed to have had these words spoken on by Paul, Paul's exposition on the subject, but alas, we have them not. And last of all, we have them portrayed in the four living creatures of Revelation 4, our subject this morning. Though the four living creatures being a more accurate translation than the word beasts of the Authorized Version, are not specifically called cherubim, they are undoubtedly, as we compare the specifics, figures of one and the same thing. They are representative of, as knowledgeable and faithful brethren of the past have demonstrated, the Israel of God in perfection, the sons of God in Mary, glorious manifestation. A glory, as Paul says, shall be revealed in us, and is our earnest expectation to wait patiently for the manifestation of the sons of God. And indeed, we groan within ourselves, waiting for this adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Those that are steeped in the popular Christian theology cannot see these things. The deep things of God concealed in these figures are hid from them, because they have received and revel in the spirit of the world, the natural man, and therefore cannot know them. The truth in all its facets is to them foolishness. Thus, to them, these signs are figures that are unintelligible. They are an enigma. And their interpretations, when they venture to speculate, are confusion and stumbling in the dark. Ever learning in the things concerning their generation, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth of God. But to us who have a firm grasp on the hope of Israel and the things pertaining to divine manifestation, who can spiritually discern, these things are not only readily intelligible, but further secure and establish our convictions of faith and hope. The divine hand in the Word becomes more apparent. Though we see through a glass darkly, God has, through these figures, given us a glimpse into the glories of the future age. Dr. Thomas sees the cherubim as a symbolic representation of God manifestation. In Eden and in the Mosaic constitution, he sees them as God manifest in the flesh, the representation of God's salvation, as writes Paul, God manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Of the cherubim, the living beings or creatures of Revelation 4 and Ezekiel, he writes, it is evident that the cherubim, etc., represent the aggregate of those redeemed from the nations in their resurrected state, those who have been constituted the righteousness of God in Christ in a glorified state. It is this aspect of God manifestation that we shall consider. The four living creatures are but one element of a great symbolic picture, the picture that we are given in Revelation 4. And it is profitable to first briefly look at the whole picture. The first impression that strikes us is one of overwhelming and resplendent power and glory. There is a throne in heaven upon which a human figure is seated, whose appearance is that of the iridescent brilliance of polished precious stones. Around this throne was a rainbow comparable to the translucent brightness of an emerald. Anyone who has seen a rainbow created by the sun acting upon the water particles after a storm can appreciate the breathtaking appearance of its glowing colors. Before this throne was a calm sea, glass-like, with the appearance of crystal. Around the throne were seated 24 elders, crowned with coronal wreaths, together with the four living creatures also surrounding the throne. These four living creatures, together with the 24 elders, pay homage to and worship him that sat on the throne. The 24 elders fall down before the throne and cast their golden staffs before him, crying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, glory, and power. To which the four living creatures say, Amen. Amen to that angelic proclamation of blessing. These are powerful words. Words in that verse spoken, of which comes from the 5th chapter of Revelation, power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. Words beautifully put to music by Handel in his work, The Messiah. Powerful words and music that stirs the hearts and minds of those of the world. And yet how much more does it so to the enlightened, who long to take part in the glorious in that glorious chorus yet to be sung. There is no doubt that this is a representation of the glories of the kingdom age subsequent to the subjugation of the nations. We see Christ established on the re-established throne of his father David, round about which was a rainbow, a sign of the covenant of peace, surrounded by the redeemed, the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures, paying homage to the captain of their salvation, crying, "Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Stretched out before them is a sea of glass. A sea of glass having been mingled with fire, as we learn from the 15th chapter of Revelation. The fiery judgments of God having been executed by the 4 living creatures, the cherubim, their power expressed in the lightning and thunder and mighty voices proceeding from the throne. What a glorious picture we have before us. The sea of nations, their roaring waves stilled and quieted by the fiery judgments of the 4 living creatures. No more for 1,000 years will they be a troubled sea casting up mire and dirt. When we consider the symbolic figures closer, a more detailed picture emerges. Consider the 24 elders seated upon 24 thrones. What aspect of the redeemed do they represent? Knowing the kingdom is to be the kingdom of Israel restored, we look to the kingdom of God past for the answers. David divided both the priests, the sons of Aaron, and the families of Levites into 24 orders. In this we see figured the royal priesthood of the age to come, who were redeemed from the children of faith. Also in the number 24 we see 2 12s. The 12 tribes of Israel, children of the Mosaic constitution, together with the Gentiles through the preaching of the 12 apostles. The other sheep, the fruit of the wild olive grafted into the stock of the hope of Israel. The 12 of Israel plus the 12 of the Gentiles. All children of the faith of Abraham. And they were depicted as all being clothed in white, the white of righteousness, derived from Christ their righteousness, thoroughly justified now in divine nature. Upon their heads were crowns, or stephans of gold, as is a better translation. It is significant that the 24 elders had stephans upon their heads. A stephan was a wreath of foliage awarded to the victors of the Greek games. But as were the victors in those games, so were those wreaths. They were like grass which withered, and the flower thereof that falleth away. But not so the stephans of the redeemed. They were of gold, the gold of a faith that had been tried and proved. A faith that through Christ had obtained for them an everlasting victory. The victory over sin and death. Here we now see them in the priestly administrations of the affairs of the kingdom. Now let us consider more closely the 4 living creatures. the vision of the four living creatures which John saw, the visions of the cherubim that Ezekiel saw, and the seraphim which Isaiah saw, are representative of the one and the same thing. The saints, made like unto the angels, glory and manifested in the divine title, the Lord of hosts, or the I will be of armies. They are designated, as says the 149th Psalm, to execute the judgments written, a two-edged sword in their hand, executing vengeance on the nations and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. This honor hath the saints. As John and the prophets amply demonstrate, they are the saints in motion, armies on the offensive, manifesting divine glory and executing divine judgments. This we can see in the meaning of the term itself. In Help Us Israel, Dr. Thomas suggests that the word for cherubim is derived from the word to ride, whether in a vehicle, such as a chariot, or on an animal, such as a horse, hence motion. Later in Eureka, he suggests the word is derived from a root word that means to waste or destroy, from which comes a word which means a sword. Even though the etymology of the word is obscure, which is readily admitted, it is certain that by what is recorded in the scriptures, it is a wasting and destroying force. Power yielded by the glorified saints, directed by the Spirit to break in pieces all kingdoms in the great day of God Almighty. In Ezekiel, the cherubim came in a whirlwind, in fire and brightness, wings outstretched, who ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. A figure that graphically responds to the 149th Psalm, armies in motion. So also with the seraphim, who flew with two of their six wings, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The Lord of hosts, or of armies, the belligerent military title of the deity. God manifest in the armies of the glorified saints. The same pattern is seen in the four living creatures of Revelation 4. The sea is glass-like because it has been mingled with the fiery judgments of God executed by the saints, which is figured by the lightning and the thunders, and the voices proceeding from the throne. The voices of God's displeasure with the nations, speaking them to them in his wrath. It is because of this power that the nations are now, in this scene, subjugated. And it is by this power that the nations, having been broken to shivers as a potter's vessel, are now ruled and stilled with a rod of iron. The power that shall bind Satan for 1,000 years. The Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the political power of the world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, who walk according to the course of this world, this power will be chained. When considering the four living creatures, as we did with the 24 elders, we look to the kingdom of God past, the nation of Israel, for the keys to understand the signs are the symbols. The four living creatures are depicted as a lion, a calf, a man, and a flying eagle, a parallel with the vision of the cherubim as seen by Ezekiel. They correlate with the fourfold encampment of Israel that came out of Egypt. As some of the features of the living creatures of Revelation 4 will be topics to be spoken on later during this weekend, our remarks will be brief and basic, although we feel it necessary to complete the picture. When Israel came out of Egypt, Moses, at God's direction, divided the 12 tribes into four groups of three. They were arranged in a specific order, outermost around the tabernacle, which contained the mercy seat within the holy place. The mercy seat over which were the cherubim, which was the dwelling place of the Lord of hosts, the I will be of armies. To the north were Asher and Naphtali under the standard of Dan. To the west, Manasseh and Benjamin under the standard of Ephraim. And to the south, Gad and Simeon under the standard of Reuben. In the east, Issachar and Zebulun under the standard of Judah. What the standards of the four camps were, Moses does not tell us. But seeing the close relationship of the symbolism of the four living creatures with the camp of Israel, it is safe to deduce that they were the four living creatures, the faces, with clues given throughout the scriptures. The eagle is ascribed to Dan, the ox or calf to Ephraim, the man to Reuben, and the lion to Judah. Between the four camps and the tabernacle were found the camps of the Levites, the family of Merari to the north, Gershom to the west, Kohath to the south, and Moses and Aaron, the priesthood, to the east. What a beautiful parallel we have between Moses and Christ. The kingdom of God past with the kingdom of God future, as depicted in Revelation 4. The four living creatures, the political and military might of the I will be of armies, compared with the four armies, the four camps of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the 24 elders, the royal priesthood of the age to come, compared with the Levitical order, all surrounding a throne. In the Mosaic, described as the ministration of death by Paul, we see God enthroned between the cherubim over the mercy seat, the place of intercession. God manifest in the flesh. In Christ glorified, which we see in Revelation 4, we see the ministration of the Spirit and of righteousness. We see God manifest in spirit. 24 elders and four living creatures round about a throne far more glorious than that of the Mosaic. When Israel broke camp and moved, whether for war or for a new dwelling place, it was according to divine direction. When the cloud over the tabernacle lifted and moved, Israel broke camp in a specific order and followed the will of the Spirit. In war, the Spirit directed the armies, and the armies executed. Correspondingly, in Revelation 4, the four living creatures were full of eyes before and behind. Enlightenment and perception in glorious perfection led by the seven spirits of God of verse 5. The omniscient and omnipotent Spirit of God, now fully manifested in the glorified Christ in perfect unity. We find the same thing in the four living creatures in Ezekiel. They went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit went, whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. Again, perfect unity with the Spirit. We remember the words of Jesus, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. His prayer now realized in full. Each one of the living creatures had six wings, full of eyes. Wings indicate flight, motion, activity. Six wings immediately identify with the seraphim, of which we mentioned from Isaiah 6, as well as the wings of the cherubim of Ezekiel. The word seraphim is derived from a word which means burning. Again, a throne is involved, as in Revelations and Ezekiel, and where a pattern again emerges. Isaiah sees the seraphim above the Lord sitting upon a throne, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Again, that title, "I will be of armies." The whole earth is full of his glory. A time when God's glory fills the earth, a time subsequent to the striking of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw upon the feet and grinding it to powder. Here is another figure of the glorified saints made like unto the angels, executing the burning, fiery judgments on the nations. Fulfilling the words of Paul to the Thessalonians, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels," the glorified saints, "in flaming fire," again, fiery judgments, "taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." The six wings were full of eyes. What do the eyes represent? The individuals in perfection of enlightenment and perception that comprise the whole body. Four creatures with six wings each, 24 in all, the redeemed from the 12 tribes and 12 from the work of the apostles. In Revelation 4, we see a scene of majestic tranquility overshadowed by divine omniscience and omnipotence. And this aspect is not lacking either in the visions of the cherubim of Ezekiel. There is a time when the execution of the judgment written shall have been accomplished. In Ezekiel 1 and 24, we find recorded, "And when they went," that is the cherubim in motion, "I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, a voice of speech as the noise of a host." Here's that word host again, army. "And when they stood or ceased, they let down their wings," now motionless. "The voice of the Almighty speaking his wrath to the nations has now ceased. The sea, having been mingled with fire, is now like glass." Now is the time for the commencement of the peaceful administration of the kingdom by the redeemed, made unto their God kings and priests. The prophetic proclamation of the angelic host to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, is now finally accomplished. The scriptures are abundant in speaking of the work of the four creatures, both in motion and in conjunction with the 24 elders at rest. The fiery judgments on the nations, followed by the blessings of the kingdom. Wings extended in judgment, then wings let down. The time of the righteous administration of the kings and priests. The priests, as with the Mosaic, so shall it be in the new order, the priests according to the order of Zadok. The type is in the Mosaic, found in Malachi, which we will paraphrase. The lips of the priests keep knowledge, which the people seek at their mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Again, that word, hosts. The law of truth is in his mouth. Iniquity is not found in his lips. And he walks with me in peace and equity and turns many away from iniquity. We shall briefly look at two examples, but the scriptures are full of them. We shall take two from the Psalms and two from Isaiah. In the second Psalm, we see God's anointed in power upon God's holy hill of Zion, commanding the nations to kiss the king or acknowledge and submit to his authority. But the nations of the earth take counsel against the anointed. And as a result, he speaks to them in his wrath and vexes them in his sore displeasure and forces their homage. Then comes to pass the great blessings of the greater than Solomon, as depicted in the 72nd Psalm. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, showers that water the earth. What an apt description. The nations mown down as grass in the fiery judgments of the cherubim, now humbled, ready to receive the blessings of the kingdom age. Through the beneficent showers, they spring forth anew to God's glory. Righteousness flourishes. The dominion of the anointed extends unto the ends of the earth. All nations serve him. All men are blessed in him, and all nations call him blessed. We find the same pattern in Isaiah, of which we will make a couple of brief references. In the 30th of Isaiah, concerning the destruction of the latter-day Assyrian, we find, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream, and shall reach into the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and he shall show the lightning down his arm, and the indignation of his anger, and the flame of devouring fire scattered in the tempest and hailstones." Again, what a vivid picture of the work of the cherubim. But then turning to Isaiah 9, we have the words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Again, powerful words set to music by Handel. A very moving chorus, but alas, words not understood or appreciated by the world. A chorus that can bring to the enlightened eyes tears when contemplated of the glory to come. But the words are incomplete without the next verse. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The comprehension and understanding of the meaning of the figure of the living creatures is a small window that God has given us. A window by which God has given us a glimpse into the future age and the part in which we are invited to participate. It is part of a category of things that angels desire to look into. A study of them is an opportunity for the spiritually minded to display the honor of kings, the kings of the future age, to search out the concealed things, the deep things of God. For God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, who seek to know him as he has revealed himself to us in his word. In this, our efforts will procure for us a deeper and more profound understanding of God's manifestation and a deeper appreciation of what God has provided for us in his Son, and a greater determination to overcome the world as did our Master. Let us keep these things in mind as we consider the things that are to be spoken of this weekend.